Welcome to the special edition of the Red Compass Labs After Hours podcast, recorded live at EBA Day 2022 in Vienna. As we recorded this in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the event, you will hear some background noise, which hopefully imparts some of the exciting vibe of the first in-person payments event for Europe since 2019. Enjoy.
Nikki, you're head of immediate and low value payments at Barclays. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
In case you don't know Barclays, they are one of the largest banks in the UK, which makes them part of the CMA 9 group, that is the focus of the Competition and Market Authority, CMA, Open Banking Initiative.
Nikki, there is so much happening with instant payment scheme at the moment.
We see a lot of work on the global stage regarding scheme interoperability. How is Barclays preparing for potential future changes in this area?
Well, you're right. There's an awful lot going on at the moment, and we've been really busy in the last few years. You know, we're already strong in SEPA, but we've been bringing on a SEPA Instant, and we're rolling that out in Europe first because obviously that's the strongest market. We're already live, but we're rolling out to the rest of the countries well ahead of the regulation, I'm very pleased to say, because obviously that's going to be a challenge later on this year. So yeah, that's really interesting. And yeah, obviously you're right, we're sort of looking more globally as well, you know, and in India, you know, with UPI and things, we're already strong. But yeah, I think, you know, we've got an eye on future markets like the States. We're already, you know, you've got TCH, FedNow is coming. When's the right time for our clients for that? Because we launched recently in the States, you know, broadening our corporate appeal, but we want to go further with instant payments. So a lot going on. But and then, of course, this new payments architecture in the UK, you know, you've got faster payments, been live since 2008, it's working great. But hey, we've got to go for new payments architecture and ISO 222. So awful lot going on in that space. And also with SEPA looking to go 24/7, that's an interesting one for next year. So very exciting times.
Yeah, and there is also IXB, right, coming along. And
yeah, now we're following that one with great interest, and we've joined the board now to look at what's doing. We're not doing the proof of concept, but we know we're looking to go with the others in later years. So that's an interesting initiative because, you know, it's linking up the instant payments here and the ones in the States, and what role do you want to play? You know, do you want to be just on one side or on both? Or, you know, and who does the FX, etc. And it's really interesting the way it links up with SWIFT Go.
Yes.
And all those
yes.
things. I think that's a really good idea because there's some great initiatives there. Yeah. And so to bring it together is very exciting. So
we love the idea that, you know, you can leverage all your existing rails. You don't really have to invest a huge amount to kind of be part of it. Yeah, so the investment side actually looks quite attractive if you want to extend your reach.
Really important at the moment with everything else going on in the regulatory space, and as I was talking yesterday about the resilience space, tremendous amount of work going on. So you don't have to do too much investment to get to some new exciting proposition. That's really good. So.
And it's interesting you mentioned SWIFT Go. So do you see, like, for example, project like IXB and SWIFT Go competing potentially on the value proposition or more complementing each other?
I think they'll be more complementary because, you know, they're operating on different payment schemes and whatever. And joining it together, it makes a great proposition for the client. It means that whatever payment scheme they're using, you're starting to get the same, you know, result for the client, which is great.
Yeah, and it's a bit like the bank is becoming a relay for the client, right? So you could see in the future really switch between one mood to another, and for the client, like, you know, as a bank like Barclays connecting to all the wood, selecting the corridor or the payment rails that makes the more sense for the payment to be executed in a certain value date and especially timing, I guess, right?
Well, this is the new way of thinking with smart payments. So instead of saying, I'll make my payment via CHAPS or I'll make it via SEPA, you say, I want to make a payment in euros and it's important it gets there quickly. And then the bank suggests the way to go. Or you have established client preferences and then we automatically take your preferences and route it that way. And that's good for making the journey easy for the client, but also from the resilience point of view, you can route it the better way for the client, but also if we have problems, you could route it an alternative route and it still gets there. So it's that change of thinking of being able to make a payment without saying I need this route. You know, I just need it to get there, please.
I guess the client doesn't really care how it gets there, right? That's your job to figure out.
Yeah,
just get my payment there. Least cost or best route possible for my needs.
And that's a good point, because you know, for some payments, it really isn't important to get there in 10 seconds. But you know, the salaries, they're planned. Most of them are planned. They can get there. So give me least cost. You know, or just less hassle for me, I'll deliver it the way I've always delivered it.
And I guess like certainty as well of the payments, particularly for corporate, right? And transparent confirmation that the payments have been executed.
I need to know it got there, yes,
Yeah,
you're quite right, because so much of back office work can focus on did my payment get there, the beneficiary claims non-receipt. You don't want that. You just want them to be able to self-serve on that and go, it got there.
It's a complete waste of time, actually, because there are so many solutions that just don't need it, right? Why? It seems so old-fashioned again. We've been talking about this a few times, where once you expect it or have that service in a certain way, you can't imagine that we ever went back to what? You had to phone up your bank and check, did my money get there? It's like, what? Who did that? Like, that was in the dark ages.
Yeah, we don't need that anymore. So you're quite right. Yeah.
And especially, I think, with concept of APIs now, like corporates being used to consume APIs directly for the bank to understand where is the payment and not having to deal with empty message directly that they look at, and then
it's interesting because the payments always did get there fairly quickly, but we didn't make that knowledge available to the customer. And so this is really surfacing that actually it is traveling okay, but in case you're wondering that it is stuck, we can tell you where it's stuck. So it's really helpful.
And in fact, a topic on this regarding transparency that Mike and I often discuss is the fact that when you think of Swift GPI, it's actually exposing the bank a bit more, right? Because you can see where the payment is stuck.
Then everyone really knows what's going on. And
which is a big encouragement to sorting out your back office.
But it really does drive good behaviors, doesn't it? Because actually, transparency means that at the end of the day, the customer's winning. And if they've got a choice, they can choose. They're empowered to choose as well.
And it enables us to have a good view of the end-to-end. So if, for example, you might have a correspondent where it's always getting stuck, you can go see that correspondent and have an interesting discussion. Say, perhaps we need to look at alternatives. Yes, exactly. Backed up by data.
Switching gears a bit, you are an active contributor at Women in Payments. At CBS, there was a panel about empowering women. And to be fair, if you look at the panels that have been organized at EBA Day, the representation is, I think it was mentioned, 85% male.
On the panels, yes, I did hear that statistic. It's an interesting one. And that, they were saying, is not EBA, it's actually when you say to us, a sponsor, who do you want to put on the panel, it's the men that are put forward. But I guess they need to look at themselves. It can be a problem, because in their own organization, if they don't have women at the right level to put forward, they can't. So I don't believe it's sort of active prejudice, but it's a reflection of the banks themselves. They need to work on their getting their women up the levels. It's getting a lot better, and you can see that from the representation around here. Yeah. From a few years ago, I know you will have seen that it's just so very different, which is great to see.
It's encouraging.
So we're getting there, but
there's still a long way to go.
Too slow, but that's inside the individual banks. But I think people are working on it, and they're all setting targets, but a lot further to go. So.
Well, Nikki, thank you very much for all your insight today and your participation at our podcast.
No, it was great to see you again.
Thank you.
At Red Compass Labs, we exist to help open the doors of finance to all and to protect those who enter. I hope today's discussion sheds some light for you on the fascinating future of payments that is unfolding all around us. We really appreciate the support of our audience. So if you've enjoyed this discussion, please show your support by giving us a thumbs up, hitting subscribe, and clicking on the bell to get notified when new content arrives in future. Also, don't be shy about giving us feedback. We really appreciate your comments and suggestions for topics and guests. That's all for this time. Catch you on the flip side.